One of the top prospects in the NFL draft, defensive lineman Jalen Carter, in some legal trouble. How will this impact the top of the NFL draft? We're going to discuss that and more on a Thursday edition of the Locked On NFL podcast. Let's roll.
You are Locked On NFL, your daily NFL podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Football fans, the NFL Combine has begun. We got a lot to discuss, including this story with Jalen Carter that turned Wednesday upside down at the NFL Combine. Before we get into that, I do want to thank you guys for tuning into a Thursday edition of the Locked On NFL podcast. It is presented by FanDuel. Make every moment more. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get started today. Thank you guys for making the Locked On NFL podcast your first listen every day, Monday through Friday. NFL content on all platforms all year long and always for free. Make sure you get subscribed and stay subscribed to the Locked On NFL podcast. I am one of your local experts, Tyler Rowland, here with my co-host, local expert Alex Clancy, covering the Titans and the Cardinals respectively. But we got to talk about the NFL Combine and some of this national news that's been going through the news cycle the last 24 hours. And obviously, we got to start with Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter, interior defensive lineman from Georgia, expected to be a top five pick in this year's NFL draft. He was set to speak with media at about 10:30 a.m. Eastern time on Wednesday. But earlier than that, and lucky for Jalen Carter, you wouldn't want him up on the stand speaking publicly when this news dropped. But we got news that he was going to be issued a warrant for his arrest in Athens, in Georgia, based on an incident, a tragic incident, really, that took place in January of this year, where a Georgia staffer and one of his teammates died in a car crash. Jalen Carter was spoken to about that incident. Apparently, there are some inconsistencies between what he told the police and what they think may have happened. So in regard to all of that, we don't want to speak too certainly about an ongoing fluid legal situation, but he has been, basically asked to come in, speak with police, talk about the issue again. It's the potential that he will be charged with two misdemeanors, one for speeding, one for racing. There's some conversation, there may be some sort of race going on there, but, you know, with no definite information, it would be irresponsible to speculate on fault or blame or anything like that. The real story here is that we are going to touch on is how this could impact the draft. And when you have teams who really consider Carter a top prospect, maybe the best defensive prospect in the entire draft class, this could potentially result in him not getting drafted at all. It could potentially mean nothing, and he's still drafted in the top five. But Alex, you cover a team in the Arizona Cardinals that have a top five pick sitting at number three. Do you think that this could impact how the Cardinals go about their draft and whether they would take Carter or not?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're in the day and age now where, especially with, you know, a tragic event, obviously that's not, we're not overlooking that whatsoever, but it happened, you know, 2 months ago about at this point, and there are conflicting reports about Jalen Carter's whereabouts and everything like that. And, you know, it used to be, and I'm not comparing these by any stretch, very different situations. Joe Mixon dropped to the second round, and he would have been probably maybe a top 15 pick coming out of Oklahoma. Laramie Tunsil with that video that came out right before the draft started.
Leal Collins from LSU.
Right, yeah. So this isn't, and again, we're not comparing these terrible things that happened in different degrees, but I think it has to at this point. Like, there's not something that could happen like this that should make the Cardinals be like, oh, no big deal. I mean, this is a huge deal regardless of outcome. Again, ongoing, we have no idea what side is up, you know, which way is up, which way is down.
Right.
But I do think that, in my opinion, what should happen, this should remove Jalen Carter from the Arizona Cardinals sweepstakes at three. Now, if they were there at 15, if they were there at 10, if they were there at 12, every single time you go down from one, especially below five, it's like the Richter scale, where a 5.0 and a 6.0 is like 100 times difference on the Richter scale. It's not just one rung up.
Well, I think it's worth noting that Jalen Carter himself did put out a statement saying that he felt he would be fully exonerated from any criminal wrongdoing. So we'll let the process play out in terms of what's actually decided there. But what I would say is it could also have a domino effect with the Bears at number one. If you're the Bears and you're considering trading down to, let's say, number four with the Colts, I think that's a pretty obvious match right there between the Colts moving up to number one to get their quarterback, the Bears dropping down to number four. That made sense for the Bears to do that because they know that the Texans are going to go quarterback, the Colts go quarterback at number one, the Cardinals probably go defense, whether that have been Jalen Carter or Will Anderson, and the Bears would still be able to sit at number four and get one of those top two defensive prospects. If Carter is no longer in that conversation, are the Bears as willing to move down, let alone to four, but any later, because of how that'll remove a top player off the board and then everybody has moved up a spot? You're going from a Will Anderson or a Jalen Carter to a Tyree Wilson, a Christian Gonzalez, maybe a Peter Skoronski or Paris Johnson Jr. If the Bears aren't interested in quarterback and Carter is, let's just say for conversation reasons, is no longer considered a first round option because of whatever plays out, well, if I'm the Bears, I may just stick and pick at number one and take Will Anderson to make sure you don't miss out on one of the best defensive prospects and let everybody else figure it out on their own. So I think depending on what happens here, it could have a domino effect on the rest of the draft. Obviously, if it goes a certain way and he's no longer a draftable option, period, that'll clearly have an effect. But there are a lot of outcomes within the range of outcomes from meaning nothing to meaning everything, where it could have an impact, at least on the beginning of the draft.
Yeah, it's a very, and this is not directly correlated when I use this terminology, to the situation surrounding Jalen Carter. It's a very fragile ecosystem in the top three or top four of the NFL draft every year. One little hair out of place can change everything. One wild move, like a team trading up from 12 to 3 and giving away two future first-round picks to draft Trey Lance, things like that happen every single draft, and that's not including extracurriculars, things that happen on the outside. Now, the things are happening, something happening like this is going to be a massive shakeup, even though, there are some pundits out there that say he's more of on the Quinnen Williams trajectory of it's going to take a couple of years for him to really make impact when Will Anderson is a set and forget immediate guy off the edge that's going to transform your defense. But yes, and I think for the Cardinals, for every team in the top, like, seven who may want to trade up and draft a quarterback, something like that, this is going to make it so much more difficult if he's removed from the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, things on the field, a quarter of an inch in your hand size, a half an inch in your arm length, literally a quarter of a second on a certain drill can change the way that prospects are viewed. So something like this most certainly could have a big impact. But we're going to move forward here. We got some quarterback drama to talk about. Seems like you can never get away from the quarterback drama in the NFL. Derek Carr is meeting with NFL teams at the Combine. Who do we think Derek Carr actually picks? At the end of the day, a lot of speculation on who he should pick, but what do we think he will do? Also, Aaron Rodgers, is he going to retire? Is he going to play? Is he going to get traded? Is he even worth trading for anymore at this moment? We're going to discuss that in just a moment. Before we do, want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers right now can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Oh, Lord. It's such a great deal. I'm getting choked up about it, Alex. Because right now, you can get those bonus bets back even if your first bet doesn't win. All you have to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe. It's secure. It's super easy to use. And look, the NFL season may be over, but the NBA season is at the best moment possible. I know Alex is excited to watch his Phoenix Suns after they acquired Kevin Durant over the deadline. Maybe not his favorite team, but, living out there and everything like that. Yeah. It's going to be fun to watch. My favorite thing to do when it comes to sports gambling is single game parlays in NBA. Kevin Durant, over 20 points. Chris Paul, over 12 assists. Devin Booker, hitting three threes. DeAndre Ayton, 12 rebounds. Put all that together. You can bet a little to win a lot. Don't miss your chance to get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Locked On NFL Thursday, Alex Clancy, Locked On Cardinals, Tyler Rowland, Locked On Titans. Thank you for making Locked On NFL your first listen each and every day, free and available on all platforms and on YouTube. Derek Carr highlights, I guess, the free agent quarterback market this offseason. He is meeting with three teams at the Combine, or has met with Saints, Panthers, Jets, and we've talked about this, you know, where would be the best spot, what team needs him the most. But we want to talk about it this way because it's getting closer and closer as free agency is right around the corner. Where do we think that Derek Carr is going to land? And I'm going to take this one first, Tyler. So there's a couple different schools of thought here. One, you look at the head coach. You say, right, which head coach do I want to play for? And that would lend to Frank Reich, I would think, because he's the only offensive-minded head coach of the three. Two, which team roster is the best? That would lend, I think, with him to the Jets. With Robert Saleh, that defense, and the budding stars on the offensive side of the ball. And then, which one is the most stable? And that would be the Saints. Even though Dennis Allen isn't Sean Payton, it is the Saints. It's New Orleans. They've been stable since Sean Payton and Drew Brees went over there. So which one does he choose? I think, personally, it's between two, and I think he's going to choose the nicer weather and go to Carolina. The division's easier, offensive-minded head coach, and that team has probably the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL in DJ Moore, and they're going to have so many possibilities through the draft to bolster that roster so much more quickly than the Saints, who have no draft cap, who have no salary cap. And the Jets are just the Jets. They're not going to be they're the Jets until they're not the Jets. So that's why I would take Carolina. What about you? Or what I think he's going to choose.
I don't think you're wrong about that, honestly. I think Carolina's got a super underrated roster. When you said who has the best roster, I would agree that it's probably the Jets. But I think Carolina is right there, and they've been a quarterback away from looking like they really have their stuff together. I like their weapons on the offensive side of the ball. I like what they're able to have on defense with a guy like Brian Burns, who's absolutely fantastic. You got J.C. Horn in there, Shaq Thompson in the middle. I mean, they have some real pieces in Carolina to make a push. And at the end of the day, would you rather go up against the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins, or would you rather go against the NFC South? If you're Derek Carr and you really want to make a playoff push and you really want to have some success, I think the NFC South is the best option. So I'm with you there. But at the end of the day, I don't think Derek Carr makes the right choice. I think he chooses the Jets. I just think that he'll be pulled in. I think that the Jets will be willing to give him the most money. The Jets already came out and said they think he'll be a Hall of Famer if he comes to New York. So clearly the Jets are courting him as heavily as they possibly can. I do think that the Jets have a really good roster, though. They're going to have Breece Hall back most likely after the ACL tear, who had a fantastic rookie season. I love their wide receiver group, even if they go ahead and get rid of Corey Davis. I like Elijah Moore, love Garrett Wilson as well, CJ Uzomah, Tyler Conklin. I mean, they got some really good pieces. They got some good pieces on the offensive line as well, if they can stay healthy. I mean, health is never a given in the NFL, but that could make a lot of sense there. I think that the Jets is where Derek Carr ultimately goes, but I am with you. I think it would be the right choice if Derek Carr picked the Panthers and went to Carolina instead, but I think he ultimately ends up with the Jets.
You know, the interesting part about that is, like, there's nothing soft and cuddly about the Jets fan base or the Jets organization. Like, this isn't Buffalo.
Why it would be a bad fit.
You know, it's not Buffalo. There are teams that would just wrap their arms around Derek Carr. And I think the Raiders, to a large portion, did. They did. The fans did, because it's, you know, that's my quarterback. It's Terrell Owens. It's like, it doesn't matter when you're tired, but the Jets are just different. Like, it'll be that initial, and I always use this analogy where it's like, you get a new head coach in the NBA, you win 7 games in a row. Just consistent as gravity.
The Hawks are doing that right now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's exactly that's how Nate McMillan would eat. He did that when they fired their last coach. He did that in Indy. He did that in Portland. Like, that's how people do it. So when Derek Carr comes in and they start 3-1, everything will be fantastic. And then Derek Carr shows people who he is, which is a limited but great leader and average quarterback. They're going to eat his lunch. So I think with Carolina, even Cam Newton was a polarizing character in Carolina because he was great at a lot of things, but he wasn't good at a lot of things that mattered. So I think you're right that he's probably going to end up choosing the Jets. And it's interesting you say he's going to choose correctly when I do think that for him, it's something that is, you know, super necessary for him just to, you know, further his career. Now, coming up next, Aaron Rodgers. If you're a team and you see that he's set to make almost $60 million in 2023, would you trade for him? Is it worth it? Even though he's Aaron Rodgers at 39? That's next. Locked On NFL rolls on. First, though, the NFL draft is upon us. Okay? Damian Parson, Keith Sanchez make Locked On NFL draft. They provide in-depth coverage of the biggest NFL draft prospects with deep dives into the sleepers and hidden gems that can change your favorite NFL franchise. You can find Locked On NFL Draft wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Again, this is a new Locked On NFL tandem. Damian Parson from the Draft Network and Keith Sanchez, in-depth coverage, all of the prospects that you're looking at for your favorite team. All in one spot. Find Locked On NFL Draft wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Football fans, I'm coming out of the darkness like Aaron Rodgers to make a decision on nothing. He's out of the darkness. He still hasn't made a decision. It's unbelievable, Alex. Explain to the people why Aaron Rodgers is such a risk to trade for.
I mean, when it comes to it, it's like, what's more of a risk? That he's 39 and completely so self-absorbed that he's looking at this as an ecosystem that he didn't facilitate himself?
Right.
It's like in the movie Biodome. Let's go back for the old heads. When they throw a party in the biodome, and then they wonder why the biodome is messed up, and they're building filters out of cigarette filters. Aaron Rodgers built this world to live in when he made the decisions that he's made over the last handful of years. So now, ego, a little aloof, unsure if football is really the most important thing to him anymore, on top of the price tag. If you were, and I'm sure Green Bay is going to have to eat some of that guaranteed money to get rid of him. I'm assuming, like, there's no way you're going
to. Rodgers will just have to give it up. You know, if he gets traded, then he's probably going to have to restructure his deal, redo his deal. And I would imagine during that process, he'll have to give up some of that money, because what team, like you're saying, what team would honestly go into a deal with Aaron Rodgers and taking on all that money without cutting it down a little bit? It would just be insane.
The dead cap hit for Green Bay. $99.7 million on their cap.
It can't happen.
So they, I don't, like, salary cap's a lie. They'll figure it out. But to the point, shout out Aaron Freeman. To the point, talent, circus, money, which has the most weight? Like, would you trade for Aaron Rodgers if you're the Raiders? If you're the 49ers, probably, I mean, the 49ers are probably out at this point, I would assume.
Yeah.
I mean, because they've got so much money tied up elsewhere. Like, after trading for Christian McCaffrey, that pretty much sewed it up. Like, would you trade for Aaron Rodgers with all that came in tow?
I think the only team that would do it is the Jets. I think they're the only team desperate enough to do it. The Raiders, I'm pretty sure on Wednesday at the Combine, both their GM and head coach came out and said, we're not doing that, which you never want to believe anything you hear at a press conference because it's all just nonsense. I mean, the Colts came out and said, oh, calm down about us trading for the first pick. And all. You just never want to believe anything. I cover a team where it was said, A.J. Brown will be a Titan for as long as I'm the head coach. And look where A.J. Brown is, not a Titan. So you can never truly believe anything that you hear in a press conference. But for me, I don't think the Raiders are interested. They want to go young at quarterback. I don't think a team like the Panthers or the Saints is close enough to where you get a Rodgers and it makes a difference for you. But the Jets continue to be one of the most interesting teams because I think that they do have a very good roster. They have a GM and a head coach that needs to win right now. And they have an owner who really what it comes down to me is the owner. Will the owner approve the money? Will the owner approve the picks that you guys spent? But if what was reported earlier this year that you got to trade multiple first round picks for Aaron Rodgers, there's not a chance I'm doing that. I'm not taking his money, his circus, his age, his non-commitment, and giving up my picks to go get him. And I think that what ends up happening is Rodgers says, oh, I want to come back to Green Bay. Maybe not even because he wants to come back to Green Bay, but because nobody is willing to give the Packers what they want to trade him. And there's just no other option. There's no way with everything going on with Aaron Rodgers that you can give up picks and pay that contract. You just can't.
Now, everything that I said about Derek Carr last segment, where the Jets media fan base, there's nothing warm and fuzzy about it, unless you're a first ballot Hall of Famer. I feel like that would be completely different with the Jets. He'd be given the keys to the castle, do what you want, take ayahuasca on Sunday before games. It doesn't matter. Like, they would let him do whatever he wanted for two reasons. One, game time, set and forget. Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, that rushing attack. You draft a couple offensive linemen. They're a Super Bowl contender like that. Like, that. That's one thing that the Raiders
Rodgers playing his best, yes.
Right, that the Raiders aren't. Right. Because they're the Raiders, and until they're not, they're not. Until they're not, there are. The Jets, if you told me the Jets came out of the AFC East next year with all of the issues the Bills are having, they're going to lose. They just lost their DC. That could be it for the Bills.
Right.
Like, we could have very uncomfortable conversations about the Bills starting the end of next season.
Yeah.
Because the Bengals have already taken over. The Miami, who knows about Tua, whatever the hell is going to happen there. Like, and Patriots are a mess right now, offensively at least. So if you go there, keys to the castle, number one. And number two, if you're ever going to get anything out of Zach Wilson, Aaron Rodgers will get it to him. So if you really, like, you have 4 years with Zach Wilson, under the tutelage of Aaron Rodgers, that could be one of the best reclamation projects ever, especially for a top pick who is a quarterback.
Yeah, like, and it might give Rodgers a chance to repair his image, too. If he is a good teammate and buddy-buddy and gets Zach Wilson back to being a competent NFL starter, that could be a good way for him to go out rather than being seen as a selfish guy who didn't want Jordan Love around and all that.
And you know why he would be? And this is so important for an egomaniac. There's zero competition that Zach Wilson will take over his job.
Right,
so you could be the best mentor in the world knowing that there's zero competition for your starting job. Which is one thing that Aaron Rodgers will eat on. It's ego. The media will love him. It's not Green Bay, so he can go to a something that's not, I don't know, like living in Green Bay. He knows, he doesn't like living in Green Bay.
No.
Like living.
Not at this stage.
Yeah. So I think you're right. I still be like, no way. No way.
Right. It would be a tough sell. But when you have a first round draft pick bust and you think the rest of your team is ready, the whole organization is ready to do something drastic. But that's going to do it for us today on a Thursday edition of the Locked On NFL podcast. Chris Carter and your boy Q will be back with you tomorrow to break down more NFL news. Make sure that you stay locked in to the Locked On NFL podcast for free NFL content on all platforms all year long. And make sure you subscribe on YouTube or whatever podcast platform that you use. That's going to do it for us. Everybody stay safe.